Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed and this is Merrick Larwood.
Yes. Hello, my friend.
Oh no, where's Merrick gone? Who's this guy?
I am a prince.
Okay.
That's pretty racist. You can't just do Nigerian accents now, can you?
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah, it was pretty convincing, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
I'm just sort of trying to get these accents in case someone listens and go... I think, well, we need this Nigerian prince. We don't need to see him, so we could just get Merrick to do the off out of shot.
You're this generation's Alec Guinness.
Yeah.
Have you seen Lawrence of Arabia since, you were younger?
I've only ever seen bits of it. I've not watched it all the way through.
It's very odd on an HD conversion because you can see the makeup line around Alec Guinness's jawline playing the Arabian guy. It's very odd. Very odd. Yes. It's not a Nigerian guy. It's Merrick.
Well, hello, listeners, and that's probably put off some new listeners.
A bit. I mean, they're probably confused. It's borderline, but harmless.
I don't even know if anyone... I mean, with me, it's the same people just downloading it, not even listening. Who knows?
Or a brand new 2,000 people every week after we turn off the others.
Not even that many.
Don't tell them that.
Okay, I went to cinema.
Yeah?
And I went to see... The Imitation Game.
The Imitation Game. Now, this one has sort of passed me by, but it is Benedict Cumberbatch playing Turin, right?
Yes, it is...
Alan Turin.
So, Benedict Cumberbatch plays Alan Turin, who is the famous guy who built the machine to crack... basically, set in the Second World War...
To crack the Enigma.
Yeah, everyone must know this story. Okay. The Enigma was the code that the Germans used for sending all the messages around... And it reset itself each day, and they realised if they cracked this code, they could potentially win the war. So what happens is the English secret agents, MI5, whatever it is, army, you know where they are.
MI5 army, yeah.
MI5 army blokes.
MFI.
People from MFI and B&Q, they get all the best mathematicians in to try and solve this problem.
Yeah.
And including Benedict Cumberbatch, who is Alan Turing.
He's
pretty much an autistic... He's autistic in the film.
Right.
Genius. And he decides he's going to try and crack the code, but building a machine. But because he's so intent, because he's on his work, or he's autistic, he has problems with relationships with people. He's very direct, and he often says... the wrong thing and rubs people up completely the wrong way.
It sounds like an episode of The Big Bang Theory.
It's a bit like that, but with a little bit more at stake.
A little bit more, okay. Not the love of Penny at stake, but the outcome of the Second World War.
And also there's the question... What happened? His story is probably fascinating. It's a fascinating story.
It is.
And he was later prosecuted for being homosexual.
I mean, it's one of the greatest shames on the British nation that a man who did so much for Britain during the Second World War was chemically castrated for being homosexual after the Second World War. It's absolutely disgusting. And he still hasn't been pardoned.
He has been pardoned. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago he was pardoned.
Yes.
And because of this story... the fact you could do so much, potentially change the course of world history through one invention,
yes.
And yet because of the Secret Service and being a, it was not released, the information wasn't released for like 50 years. It was only came out in 2003, yes. 2004. It was top secret for however long. So he just did, he just had a sort of a non-life after that, you know?
Yeah. Is it an interesting story? Because I've read some reviews of it, some which are a bit scathing, actually.
I thought it was really good. This. I thought it was really good. I thought the story was interesting. Benedict Cumberbatch is a great actor. I mean, he plays sort of these weirder... It's a bit of a departure from his sort of Sherlock sort of characters that he's been doing of late, where he's a bit more... even though he's playing some more autistic... he's a fascinating person to watch. Keira Knightley, his friend, is his friend.
Yes, I forgot she was in it.
The
thing I've read in the review is that they imply that for a brief period he does actually put the security of their operations at risk because of his relationships with men. And apparently that is absolute lies.
No, it's not. That's not it. That's not it at all.
That's what The Guardian focused on. But
no,
whilst he's in a dilemma about it, you know, it's potentially he doesn't report something or something, and apparently that's just an absolute sort of blot on the true man's character.
No, there's a sort of subplot I can't really reveal without giving spoilers away, but I don't think his homosexuality comes into it in another. In another context, about someone finding out about it, and it was a crime in those days.
Right.
Keira Knightley, I mean, I just think she's awful. I don't understand why she's become this sort of the go-to star in so many films. I find her so cold.
It must be something to do with how Americans see her and how that... Because she's more popular with Americans than with the British, but and how that sort of... how that fits with their image of what British people are like. I think it must be something to do with that.
She just speaks like this, but it doesn't seem sincere at all.
No,
it seems
no.
Like I'm talking like this.
But you know how that when there's a language barrier or an accent barrier, you can think someone's a better actor than they are. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, you might as well just draw a face and a perfectly symmetrical face on a back of a pack of cornflakes and then just stick a Radio 4 to the back of it. Play that.
Yeah, I don't really enjoy her stuff. I liked her in Atonement. I thought everyone in that was very good, and that suited her perfectly, that part. I think she's sort of tolerable in Pirates of the Caribbean, but apart from that, I she sort of puts me off.
Yeah, I mean, I think apart from her putting on, I really enjoyed this film. It's never going to be an action film. It's more. I think they could have delved more into the story and the homosexuality. They didn't do enough of that. That was fascinating.
Okay.
And the aftermath of his life in the 1950s and how he was treated by the police. That wasn't really. It was more about the code breaking, the sort of Keira Knightley sort of friendship stroke. Someone coming to terms with the homosexuality. Didn't really. It pulled its punches in places, I think.
Okay.
It's a film that makes you think. That's a fascinating story. It's an incredible story. That's what comes across first and foremost. Is that the story is so fundamentally interesting, you almost can't make a bad film about it.
Yeah,
you're intrigued with the character. Ben Cumberbatch plays him really well. After this, it's one of those films you want to go and research Alan Turing on the internet, and you want to read his, you know, the proper biography of him to find out what he was actually like, how factually accurate it is.
Well, that's what I think biopics should do. I mean, it as close to them as possible, but sometimes closer to the spirit of them than the absolute real events, because a film has to have a good story, and lives aren't always a great story. So if it diverts in some regards, I'm fine with that, because no one should go to the cinema to have a history lesson.
Well,
you should be inspired by the spirit of the man to go and find out facts and read about yourself. That's exactly
that's
the way around it should be.
I prefer this to Mr. Turner, because I think Mr. Turner was almost too much a reflection of his life.
Yes,
where it was overlong and you didn't have the sort of drama of the film. This somehow you are given poetic license.
I think the truth is a poor excuse for a bad story.
That's a good quote. As so often you do, David, you put my ramblings into one sentence.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah, well, okay, how many Marics would you give The Imitation? Eight Marics. Okay, good film then.
It's a good film. It's not spectacular, but you just go away thinking, oh, I really enjoyed that. That was good. Apart from Keira Knightley, that was good. I like the, nice to see all the British actors in there, like Mark Strong and some other people in there.
Yes.
The same faces, pretty much, but I did enjoy it. Go and watch it.
All right.
Well, we're heading, I get a distinct feeling now. It's,
you get the stink feeling.
Distinct feeling.
Oh, distinct. I thought you said you get the stink feeling.
I get stink feeling. Mark Bell wrote at Film Fandango, I went to see The Imitation Game last night. I enjoyed it. One of the better films I've seen this year. And I think that pretty much sums up how you feel about it.
Okay.
I think it's one of the better films. We're going into that period before Christmas where all the good films start coming out.
What's coming out?
Not, I don't know what it is, but it's normally Oscar season, isn't it now?
Is it? Before Christmas? I always
November,
forget
December,
when it is. Yeah, that's right.
All the good ones come out. They save them up. Birdman looks really interesting.
Oh, I'm looking forward to Birdman. Yeah.
So I can't wait for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. That's the only one I've seen a trailer of and gone, oh yeah, I'm definitely seeing that.
Yeah.
That looks awesome. I'm really like Michael Keaton, though. And I also love it when really good actors have been ignored for a while and so gotten really pissed off and interesting, and then someone gives them a film to vent and show all of that. Like, I
he was always quite a weird star, though. He was a weird sort of Batman choice.
Really odd.
Because he did Beetlejuice and he played odder characters and he became this sort of superhero mainstream person for a while, which was never really well with Michael
Keaton. He was the muse in for Tim Burton during his best films. And then as soon as Tim Burton tried to replicate Edward Scissorhands and got Johnny Depp on everything, he's made crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. Michael Keaton, I think he's fantastic. Really good. Like, he's a comic actor, actually, who can just bring something strange to a straight role.
He did the Batman double punch, one of the best punches in the...
The double punch? I don't remember the double punch.
I can't. Oh, I'm arming
yeah.
Basically,
over punches, the shoulder, double punch.
Two punches behind, yeah. Two faces behind him. Anyway, so Birdman, look forward to. I don't think I've. Imitation. I think someone wrote an email in the previous week, in last week when Danielle came in.
Yes.
About films that are difficult to describe. I think maybe I haven't described this film very well.
Well, it's about Alan Turing trying to crack the Enigma machine, isn't it, Alan?
Yeah, you just come away thinking that was quite good. And there's not really much I can say about that, apart from Keira Knightley being rubbish.
Is it better than U-571, the story of the Americans in their submarine trying to steal the Enigma device, in which they imply that John Bon Jovi actually won the war, rather than British scientists?
I watched that so long ago. It's not as good as Das Boot, if you're going to watch submarine film.
Das Boot is phenomenal.
Watch Das Boot.
Yeah.
Don't watch U-571.
Battlestar Galactica is basically Das Boot in space.
Mm.
There you go.
Anyway,
owes a lot to it.
We should do. It's the time for the middle section. Everyone really loves this section.
It's everyone's favourite section where we read out your letters, listeners. If you would like to email in for next week or subsequent weeks, then please do. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com. Or we'll even read things that you put on Facebook. If they're particularly interesting, go to facebook.com/filmfandango. Or if it's a particularly good tweet, @FilmFandango is our Twitter handle, as they call it.
Many people like writing because you haven't got many letters again.
No, so if you've been sitting on your hands, bloody get off them and type something.
This is
an email from Anne Coletta, friend of the show, Anne Coletta. And she says, what accent do you want Anne Coletta
in? She's dead there, I think.
Does she?
It's New York. It's all New York-ish, Albany way.
Albany way? Bloody hell. They're upstate New York. That's very... I've been there, and I've no idea how they speak in upstate New York.
Oh.
So it'll be American. Dear buddy David and Merrick, I heard your cries for help. I mean, your request for emails. But I've just been too busy to harass you. Anyway, the accent is upstate New York, which David should be able to nail. Go, David. I don't know if I am or not. All right, down to business. The theme for the upcoming summer reading program at the library is Every Hero Has a Story. So hit me with your best hero films, not superheroes, appropriate for young children. Go, Best Anne. Hero films, not superhero films.
Appropriate for young children.
Young children.
Well, I watched recently, I watched Platoon.
Lots of heroes in there.
Yes, lots the Vietnam heroes. Thing with Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, yeah.
And William Dafoe, who's famously, I was not spoiled, he gets shot.
He's shot on the front cover, yeah. Isn't he?
He's
Dr. Cox from Scrubs is in it, isn't he?
Yes, he is, yeah. Well, he's looking very young.
Yeah, John C. McGinley.
But I think he's a good hero for the kids.
For the kids.
Yeah,
the
a good kids. War hero.
Hero films for kids.
Who not aren't superhero films.
Yeah. But, I mean, we just have to think of anything from the 70s, when the only superhero film was Superman, right? I mean, that was the only one back then.
Non-superhero films, the films without superheroes.
Yeah, exactly. What, Indiana Jones, got to be the best hero of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
I think he's up there, yeah.
Because he combines a disdain for the cultures of other nations with a love of Christ. And I like that about him.
I'm looking up. Oh, here we go. The Karate Kid.
Good, good.
Mr. Miyagi, maybe.
Who's the hero in that, yeah?
I'd go for Mr. Miyagi.
He's a good role model, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's good at avoiding conflicts, but then if a conflict is inevitable, winning that conflict.
Oh, you have to go for police heroes, police officers, don't you, I suppose?
Police officers. So Mahoney, Jones, Hightower, the whole gang.
Not that lot.
No?
The guy from Life is Beautiful. The main guy in that. That's not really a super...
Oh, for kids?
Yeah.
I wouldn't show kids Life is Beautiful. That'd be horrible.
They need to learn.
What about Charlie Chaplin in Modern Times? I think kids would get behind that, right?
Or Charlie in the Chocolate Factory?
Yeah. I mean, really, you say every hero has a story. Every story has a hero, I would also say. So pretty much any story is a story of heroism.
There we go. Done.
Because they have to overcome adversity, and therefore there is something heroic in that very act. So any film. That's our recommendation. Any film.
Yeah, just get a DVD out, whack it on, and then you'll be absolutely fine.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. Thank you for your email. That address again, if you would like to send something in, is dearfilmfandango@gmail.com. We also do all of this for free. So if you would like to donate towards our running costs because you're a regular listener, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there. And everyone who has, thank you very much. You are the best. What is this?
Mac Interesting is posted on our Facebook page. Film Fandango Facebook. You can go.
That's right. Film Fandango Facebook.
I don't know what it is.
This is from Mac Interesting. Hi, just watched the film Coherence from 2013. I can't remember if it's been mentioned on the show. I don't believe it has. But I rarely ever seem to watch films you haven't. On the off chance I have, I recommend this. Sci-fi in the kind of what-if type world rather than space, etc. Low budget, semi-improvised, but done well enough that you don't find it too baggy around the edges once the story gets going. I'd suggest not reading too much about it, but even if you have heard what it's about, as I had before watching, I think it still stands up. Not seen Primer, but think this has some of the bits of that David enjoyed, but without being quite so impenetrable. Other people seen it? Liked it? ? So that's Coherence from 2013. Might try and track that down. Like a bit of a what-if sci-fi.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting.
Very interesting. If you have recommendations of films you don't think people have seen, then do get in touch with us. Is that the letters, or do you have another one?
That's it, because no one's writing in.
All right, okay. Well, I saw a film this week, also in the cinema.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I saw the comedy sequel... Always a great genre, comedy sequels, always successful. But Horrible Bosses 2.
Why?
Why? Because it was free.
How come it was free?
A friend of mine had a...
disability.
Has a disability and fell down in the screen, and I had to help him up for 2 hours. So, no, he had a press screening spare ticket. So I went along to that. Now, they don't seem to have much confidence in it because they didn't provide free booze. They only provided bottled water and popcorn.
Maybe it was so funny you didn't need to get drunk.
Maybe. Horrible Bosses 1.
Did you watch that?
I did. I've seen that.
I stopped watching because I thought it was a load of shit.
I did not like number 1 at all. I did not like it. I found it sort of base and obvious and a bit nasty and not very fun to watch.
They all look like they enjoyed everyone themselves far in more it, than the actual that's bit, true. Everyone watching it.
That's true. The guys in it is a trio, because for some reason you don't do comedy double acts in films anymore, ever since The Hangover, it would seem. Or maybe Three Amigos. It's now about three guys.
Okay.
But it's Jason Bateman from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis, who I've no idea where he's from. I think he's from SNL. He's an SNL regular. Yeah. And Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
What happened to Colin Farrell? He's in the first one.
Spoilers! He gets shot in the first one, so he's not in this one.
Oh.
But Jennifer Aniston is back, and Kevin Spacey is back, but in a sort of cameo capacity. He seems to have filmed all of his scenes in 1 hour, because they're all from one camera angle, and in the bloopers reel you can see he's got a script on the table. Wow. In front of him.
Wow.
So yeah, but he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. He just nails it. But the villain of this one is Christoph Waltz, who has recently been rumoured, he has been named as the villain in the next Bond film, and the rumours are he'll be Blofeld, which we totally called when we cast it.
He's not really difficult, though.
It's not difficult. He's everyone's favourite villain since Inglourious Basterds. And playing his son is Chris Pine, of Star Trek fame, amongst other things, who is really, really good in this. He's excellent. I've not seen him and thought, God, he's great before. Mm-hmm. You know, he's good as Kirk, but I don't like those films very much. But he's great in this. As I said, I didn't like the first one. This one is much the same. It's your traditional sequel thing, where in the first one, all three of them have jobs they hate and they hate their bosses, and so they decide to murder each other's bosses and fail spectacularly. In this one, because at the beginning of it, because they all hated their bosses, they have gone into business for themselves, but then a bigger businessman screws them over.
Oh, no.
So they want to get their revenge by kidnapping his son and ransoming him.
Why are the horrible bosses in it, then?
I don't know, it's just the name of the show, isn't it? But this one, I have to say, is so much better than the first one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed it. Well-told story, really fun. Some of the humour's a bit obvious again, like some set pieces where I'm just like, yeah, I get it, I get what you're doing, it looks like they're wanking. But
that sounds good.
You'd like it. You'd love that scene in the shower. But they're really good together, and actually it's far more focused than the first one. The first one was like, hey, let's watch Colin Farrell doing comedy for a bit. That's never good. And hey, let's watch Jennifer Aniston doing some comedy for a bit, playing a nymphomaniac. Yeah, that's rubbish. Let's watch Kevin Spacey for a bit. That's good. And this one, there's one villain, one story. It's more about the three guys together rather than separating off. And so it's about their rapport, and that's really fun.
Okay.
And Chris Pine is really funny in it. He's excellent, really good. So I enjoyed it, and it got me to thinking, I can't think of the last time I thought a comedy sequel was better than the first one.
I was thinking, as you were talking, David, I was thinking, well, this will really come up in when you get asked which sequels are better than the originals. This will be a new one.
Arguably, although I don't know if I'd agree, but Austin Powers 2 is good. It's very good, but so is the first one. But then
Ted's Excellent
I
Adventure.
Love Bogus Journey. That's the second one.
The second one's better, isn't it?
It's different. I love the second one more than I love the first one, but I do like them both. That's a high-quality sequel, I think.
Yeah.
You know, Ghostbusters 2 is a high-quality sequel, but not it doesn't excel the first one.
The first one was a classic.
Absolutely. But no, I mean, it's an off-maligned thing. Like, sequels to comedies are usually duff. Police Academy 2, I know they're not everyone's cup of tea. I love all of the first four, at least. The second one is better than the first. But then things like Anchorman, nope. Second one felt overindulgent and not very funny.
22 Jump Street, no.
Not strong. Good. Hangover 2, nope. It's a tricky thing to return to the same characters and give people what was funny about it without treading the same ground again, I think.
It's like sitting on a toilet that someone's just used.
Yes. But the only reason I think this one is better is because the first one wasn't very good. Maybe okay. If Horrible Bosses was a classic comedy, maybe this wouldn't have succeeded.
I was surprised when I saw everyone pushing Horrible. There's been quite a lot of big push on the bus.
Yeah, yeah, well, lots of buses.
That's why I judge how big a film is by how many buses it's on.
Yeah. One day we'll be on buses. You know, going to work or going to the job centre.
I want to say one day you won't have to get on the bus.
Yeah? Why?
Be too rich. You're too rich to go.
Nowhere to go.
Nowhere to go.
On a ventilator in bed.
Severely disabled or crippled.
Yeah.
Or dead. That's probably the three reasons I won't be on the bus. They're more likely than me being too rich to be on a bus.
Yeah. Hey, you can always get on a bus. You can always connect with your fellow man. But I would recommend, if you know, even if you enjoyed the first one, this is a tighter comedy all round.
A good date film.
Possibly. There's a lot of sort of nymphomaniac talk of shitting on each other, and that's probably a bit awkward for a first date.
A good specialist date film.
Yeah, good. A good niche date film. Good to have in your back pocket if you think she or he is that way inclined.
If you've met your potential partner
on
a specialist website for highly sexed people, scat-loving people...
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. It's got everything. It's got everything you need. I enjoyed it. There's not much more to say than that. I'd be interested if other people did too.
I'm trying to think of the name for the website for people...
What you could look it up.
You could call it.
What, for people who want to?
Frisky people who are into
Scat cat.
It's got to be frisky, isn't it?
Cats are frisky.
What's another word for frisky?
I don't know. Randy.
Yeah, Randy's cat.
Scatrandy.com.
You call it Randy's cat, so it sounds quite innocent.
Yeah.
But it actually means Randy
Scat.
And he actually on the thing is a cat.
Yeah.
The bro is a cat.
With Randy Newman hugging it.
Yeah. Right. Everyone knows. Oh, you've been on Randy's cat?
Oh, yeah. You've got a friend in me.
Where'd you meet your partner?
That's its tagline. You've got a friend in me.
No, the tagline is don't flush.
Don't flush. Okay. Or it takes two.
If you... That's good.
No, we're not giving that. We're not doing that. We don't want 1,000 emails about scat.
A tagline for Randy's Cat website. Please send it in.
Yeah, it takes two. Then please send it in. I don't want you to, but fine. Miracle, enjoy it. DearFilmFandango@gmail.com. I think that's the end of this episode, isn't it?
Yes, it bloody is.
Well, we'll be back next week with more films. Hopefully more of you will have written in or sent in your Mr. Turner pictures, which we still haven't received.
Keep
watching the films. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.